in the limelight.
Early in the pandemic, the World Health Organization stated that SARS-CoV-2 was not transmitted through the air. That mistake and the prolonged process of correcting it sowed confusion and raises questions about what will happen in the next pandemic. Please stay with us for an article in this regard written by Diane Lewis Ryder. This article is published under the heading, Why WHO Took 2 Years to Say COVID is Airborne. Here's the story. As 2021 drew to a close, the highly contagious Omicron variant of the pandemic virus was racing around the globe, forcing governments to take drastic actions once again. The Netherlands ordered most businesses to close on December 19th. Ireland set curfews, and many countries imposed travel bans in the hope of taming the tsunami of COVID-19 cases filling hospitals. Amid the wave of desperate news around the year-end holidays, one group of researchers hailed a development that had seemed as though it might never arrive. On December 23rd, the World Health Organization WHO uttered the one word it had previously seemed incapable of applying to the virus SARS-CoV-2, airborne. On its website, a page titled Coronavirus Disease, COVID-19, How is it Transmitted? Was quietly edited to state that a person can be infected when infectious particles that pass through the air are inhaled at short range, a process otherwise known as short-range aerosol or short-range airborne transmission. The website says that transmission can occur through long-range airborne transmission in poorly ventilated or crowded indoor settings because aerosols can remain suspended in the air or travel farther than controversial distance. It was a relief to see them finally use the word airborne and to say clearly that airborne transmission and aerosol transmission are synonyms, says aerosol chemist José Luis Jiménez at the University of Colorado Boulder. The seemingly uncontroversial statement marked a clear shift for the Switzerland-based WHO, which had tweeted categorically early in the pandemic. Fact, COVID-19 is not airborne, casting the negative in capital letters, as if to remove any doubt. At that time, the agency maintained that the virus spreads mainly through droplets produced when a person coughs, sneezes or speaks, an assumption based on decades-old infection control teachings about how respiratory viruses generally pass from one person to another. The guidance recommended distancing of more than 1 meter, within which these droplets were thought to fall to the ground, along with hand washing and surface disinfection to stop transfer of droplets to the eyes, nose, and mouth. It took until October 20th, 2020, for the agency to acknowledge that aerosols, tiny specks of fluid, can transmit the virus. But the WHO said this was a concern only in specific settings, such as indoor, crowded, and inadequately ventilated spaces. Over the next 6 months, the agency gradually altered its advice to say that aerosols could carry the virus for more than a meter and remain in the air. But this latest tweak is the WHO's clearest statement yet about airborne transmission of SARS-CoV-2, and it places the virus among a select group of airborne infections, a label long reserved for just a handful of the world's most virulent pathogens, including mycelis, chickenpox, and tuberculosis. The change brings the WHO's messaging in line with what a chorus of aerosol and public health experts have been trying to get it to say since the earliest days of the outbreak. Many decry the agency's slowness in stating unambiguously that SARS-CoV-2 is airborne. Interviews conducted by Nature with dozens of specialists on disease transmission suggest that the WHO's reluctance to accept and communicate evidence for airborne transmission was based on a series of problematic assumptions about how respiratory viruses spread. For example, even in the middle of the fast-moving epidemic, the WHO dismissed field epidemiology reports as proof of airborne transmission because the evidence was not definitive, something that is difficult to achieve quickly during an outbreak. Other criticisms are that the WHO relies on a narrow band of experts, many of whom haven't studied airborne transmission, and that it eschews a precautionary approach that could have protected countless people in the early stages of the pandemic. Critics say that inaction at the agency led to national and local health agencies around the world being similarly sluggish in addressing the airborne threat. Having shifted its position incrementally over the past 2 years, the WHO also failed to adequately communicate its changing position, they say. As a result, it didn't emphasize early enough and clearly enough the importance of ventilation and indoor masking, key measures that can prevent airborne spread of the virus. Lydia Morvasa, an aerosol scientist at the Queensland University of Technology in Brisbane, Australia, spearheaded several efforts to convince the WHO and other health agencies of the airborne threat. She says that airborne transmission was so obvious as far back as February 2020, and that omitting it from official guidelines was disastrous. Resolving this debate about how to assess the transmission of respiratory viruses matters, say researchers, because a more deadly variant of SARS-CoV-2 could emerge at any time, and new respiratory viruses will almost certainly plague humanity at some point. It's not clear whether the WHO and the world will be ready.